be playing. I be playing.
Good morning and welcome to Skybox on 90.7 The Capstone. It's week 11 in the college football season, and second-ranked Alabama faces a road test today over in Starkville against 17th-ranked Mississippi State. We'll have a lot to say about that game in a few minutes. I'm Mark Mayfill, and I'm joined today, as always, by co-hosts Drs. George Brown and Adam Sterrett. George is Executive Director of the University of Alabama Recreation, and Adam is Assistant Vice President for Student Affairs here at the University. We got a great show for you today, including a very special guest, Sarah Patterson, the legendary Alabama gymnastics coach who won 6 national championships, 43 postseason championships in all, and 1,006 victories in 36 seasons. Her influence, of course, extends far beyond the gymnastics world. She's been an extraordinary representative of the University of Alabama and the ultimate winner in her profession and in life. We look forward to speaking with her about everything from gymnastics to Bama football and the incredibly successful Power of Pink breast cancer awareness campaign she founded here at UA. And she's also our guest picker today, and we'll find out what she thinks about today's lineup of college football games, and I think a very special game she's added to the mix that's going to, I think, challenge all of us in terms of picking that winner. But first, we'll break down the games today with my colleagues here, Drs. Brown and Sterrett, and we can start by asking them the big question of the day. If you think cowbells are annoying to Mississippi State opponents, how would you like to be a cow walking around with one of those things on your neck all day? How about that?
That is a good question.
Clanga, clanga. What is going on with that? Coach Saban had the best answer. He says it's loud everywhere. But it's really kind of real loud over in Starkville.
No doubt.
I don't understand why they allow it.
I don't either. I was there the last time Bama played 2 years ago there. And, the fans don't ring them as soon as Bama comes up to the line. But they do right up to the point when they're planning to play. Now they don't huddle as much and they get the signals from the sideline. But, they ring them a lot, and I know the SEC, I guess, has dictated when they can ring them and when they're not, but it does seem like they're ringing constantly from the very start.
Yeah. Well, we've got a lot of big games. We're going to talk a little bit more about Alabama and Mississippi State in just a couple of hours today over in Starkville. But, our friends down on the Plains have a pretty big game. I like this game because y'all know it's dead even. After 118 meetings, the oldest rivalry in the South, it is absolutely dead even. I think it's 55-55-8 or something like that. Somebody's going to take the lead today.
Yeah, that adds some excitement to a game that earlier this season we thought would be huge.
And
doesn't mean a lot now as far as specific SEC rankings, but it could mean something to them for sure.
Well, I think, Auburn showed us something last week over in College Station. Yeah. May have shown us a little bit more about what Texas A&M's not, to be honest.
Again, we got fooled again, right?
Well, and I'm not sure I understand this Auburn team. I'm not sure that they'd understand their team right now. But Georgia, I clearly know this is a defining game for them. This is one they have to have circled, if for no other reason what they remember last time they were in Jordan-Hare. So that's one. Adam, you're North Carolina State, or your Florida State team's playing North Carolina State. I would think Florida State's going to win this game, but after last week?
Right, it could be a tough game to show up for because that team really had an all-or-nothing mentality, I think, the Florida State team. And so right now, if you look at – maybe you got a good shot at the Peach Bowl if you win out against them and Florida in a couple weeks. There's a cupcake, I think, in between there. But this game certainly – if you don't show up for this game, you could lose to NC State at home and really have – a pretty embarrassing loss on your schedule. You don't really have a real embarrassing loss yet, and this could be it. The Wolfpack strangely gets us every once in a while. I know Philip Rivers isn't still there, but a lot of us remember Philip Rivers beating us at Doak, which is the first ACC team to ever beat us at home.
NC State's one of those teams that can win on any Saturday. I mean, they can show up.
They can show up for a game,
They can show up for a big game and win.
This has historically been a fairly big offensive showdown, but I'm not so sure this year it will be. Florida State did I think, hold Clemson down. I was surprised at the final score in the Florida State-Clemson game.
The defense played really well.
Really
if you watched that game before the Bama game last week, you know, the defense held it together for three quarters, three and a half quarters. But if you don't have any offense, then if the defense doesn't get a pick six or something, you can't do it alone. And that's really what happened in that game.
Right. Arkansas tonight is in Death Valley. I'm really anxious to see what LSU. You know, historically, the team that plays Alabama has that real hangover.
Yep, has a down
week. And I'm just wondering, will LSU exhibit that? Or I mean, they've got to come to play to beat Arkansas.
And Arkansas is coming off a high.
They're
coming in strong, scoring a lot of points.
Is
this nothing to win or lose at this point, right?
It's a possible upset. I mean, we'll make our picks later, but I'm telling you that Arkansas, they did it last year too. Remember, they started off slow and then they ended strong, and they're looking pretty good now. And after last week with that throw behind the back, and you know, I mean, you think you got Arkansas beat, and you know, you better play to the last second.
That can tell a team that they're unbeatable, right? That they're never down. And that's a tough thing to teach a team, is that we're never out of a game.
Right.
So once you have something like that happen, it's the same with the Georgia Tech team, right?
Right.
If you really now have seen a demonstration of never being out of a game, that can change your mindset possibly.
We have seen more games this year that have literally come to the last play of the game, okay?
Yeah.
And I think if there's anything coaches are probably telling their players and their coaching staff is exactly
play the
that.
Full four,
you're
right?
you're never out of it. Play, yeah.
And half of them have been without some type of controversy from the black and white stripes, right? But half of them have had the controversy. So you've got to play every single play of every game at this point, and hopefully coaches are talking about that all week long, right?
Yeah, I think so. Well, you know, the Big 12 wants some love. And they didn't get much Tuesday, did they? So here's their chance. You're starting your playoff, Big 12. You don't have a championship game. So put up or shut up, Oklahoma and Baylor.
Absolutely.
I don't want to hide my disdain for either one of those teams too much, but I just want them to go ahead and play and stop bad mouthing the Big Ten and the SEC. Just play football.
I agree.
And get out there and show us who's better.
Yeah, we're going to find out.
And play
a
some
lot
defense while you're at it.
That'd be nice.
Backloading the schedule doesn't seem like it was a smart move. It really doesn't. These games should have been happening in the last 6 weeks, last 4 weeks at least.
Yeah.
And so waiting until now, when people have maybe already lost interest in the Big 12, especially with the TCU loss last week,
That hurt them.
That hurt them a lot. Yeah. And so the Big 10 magically has, eight teams in the top 25? We're talking about the Big 10. We're talking about Iowa, and we're not talking about these teams.
Well, the other thing is, you lose late, you're out of it. And if you lose early, you got a chance.
Right.
But these teams in the Big 12, they're going to lose late.
Right.
Whoever loses in that league is going to lose late,
right,
and they're done. And, I mean, I don't think they thought that through. They also don't have a championship game, which hurts them.
It's absolutely crazy.
That's the glaring problem right now in that league, is that the commissioner, somebody's going to have to step up and say, guys, we are going to have to play a championship game. Everybody else is. It's a de facto play-in game for the playoff. I mean,
I don't see the downside, do you? I don't. Where the lack of leadership is coming in at the commissioner level of not getting the stakeholders to say this is a must. We're losing millions and millions of dollars at this point.
Yeah,
and by now it's proven after this year. You know, last year they were left out of the playoff. This year they could be left out.
Yeah.
They're already – the committee's already sent a message to them.
Absolutely.
They're not in the top four, none of them. And I think that's – if there's ever a thing of saying you need a playoff, you need a championship game, and you also got to play a better, you know, non-conference schedule.
And
the other thing is just backloading is not going to work.
Yeah, you're fighting with power conferences. You're fighting with – non-power conferences, you're fighting with Notre Dame, you're fighting with everybody at this point. And how can you just assume that you're going to get a pass here and end up one of the top four? It's a terrible idea.
The only one with a chance with a loss, because I think they're all going to come out of it with a loss, I think the only one is Oklahoma. Oklahoma, if they went out, they've got a shot at it, depending on what Notre Dame does.
Perhaps prestige and reputation more?
Yes.
And an early loss, right?
Because they're the one big –
an early, ugly
teams,
loss.
It was ugly.
Oklahoma has that national reputation that they could pull it off, but they're the only one. But I think Oklahoma – I think if Bama continues to win, Notre Dame continues to win, I think if there's a one-loss team, Oklahoma, they'll be left out.
Who's the best team real quick in the Big 12? You think Oklahoma?
I think Oklahoma's best.
I think right now, at the end of the season, Oklahoma.
I'm gonna cheat on my picks. I think Baylor may be.
Yeah.
Really?
I hate to admit it. I hate to
admit it. Anxious to hear that analogy there.
I don't want to hear any more from Art Briles.
I don't either.
No, I'm not a Baylor guy.
Not a Baylor guy. Okay, that's what we see out there in the college football landscape today. We're going to break down these games in more detail later, but first we've got an extraordinary special guest in the studio with us today, the person who built Alabama's women's gymnastics into the national powerhouse that it is today, Sarah Patterson. We've got a lot to talk about with her. Let's take a quick break, and we'll be right back with Coach Patterson. You're listening to Skybox on 90.7 The Capstone.
Hi, I'm Mayor Walt Maddox, and you're listening to Skybox on 90.7 The Capstone.
Welcome back to Skybox on 90.7 The Capstone. Well, what can I say? There hasn't already been said about the iconic coach Sarah Patterson. She's meant everything to our gymnastics program and maybe more importantly to our university. Coach Patterson and her teams won 6 NCAA national championships, 8 SEC titles, 29 NCAA regional titles in her 36 years as coach. She's named NCAA Women's Gymnastics Coach of the Year 4 times and SEC Women's Gymnastics Coach of the Year 4 times as well. She was inducted into the Alabama Sports Hall of Fame in 2003. We could go on and on, but I want to get to talking to her, and I want to turn it over to her right now. Coach, such a pleasure to have you on the show.
Well, thank you all so much for having me.
Well, it's our pleasure, and we're glad you're going to stay with us through the interview and into the picks because we've got so much to talk about. But just looking back on this, you've got to stop and pause. Tell us your thoughts after these years. Has it gone fast? Does it seem like it was just yesterday when you started and Coach Bryant hired you?
Well, it does. You know, I was hired 22 years old. I was a graduate of Slippery Rock State College and now at Slippery Rock University. And, you know, Coach Bryant, I was coming in to be an assistant coach. And all of a sudden, there was a coaching change, and I was going to be the 5th coach in 5 years. And what Coach Bryant didn't tell me when he hired me was that at the end of the year, they were going to drop the gymnastics program. And so I came in, I made $5,000 that first year, and, you know, started graduate school. And, you know, it was an amazing opportunity. And that first year, we went 7-7. It was the first non-losing season that we had ever had in the sport of women's gymnastics. And Coach Bryant gave me 5 scholarships to use. I took those 5 scholarships, went out and got our first recruiting class. And 4 years later, those young women led us to our first NCAA championship. Wow. And we were there for 32 years.
Wow. That's incredible.
Yeah. I did not know that both the program had gone through that many coaches and was on the verge of being abandoned.
Yeah, that's amazing that they were about to kill the program.
But you have to think, Coach Bryant, you know, we came in and, you know, we didn't lose. And we turned it around, and then we started getting people in the stands. And, you know, that was 1978, and I worked with him till 82. And you know, it was an amazing time here at the university because women's sports were just starting to grow. And mm-hmm. we started off in Foster Auditorium and started with 50 people, and they were probably Ann Woods Shealy's family, and built it to 3,000. And then we went over into Foster Auditorium and, you know, started with over into Coleman Coliseum, and we started with a black curtain up and until we put 7,000 fans in the stands. And then, you know, a few years later in 1997 against the University of Georgia, we had our first sellout crowd, 15,023.
Amazing. Wow. Amazing.
What was the turning point? Was there a point in time you talk about this growth and this process of making it accepted in such a football powerhouse of a school? How did gymnastics turn the corner? Do you remember that moment?
Well, I do. I believe very much so that it was 1988 when we won that first championship. We had been here 10 years, and we went out to Salt Lake City, Utah, who had won a bunch of championships, and we won our first. The next step was 1991. We hosted the NCAA championship, and I had some people tell me, including Pat Summitt, that, you know, it's important to get people and put them in the stands. And you know, if you want to win a championship, host a championship. And, you know, so we did both. In 91 and 96, we hosted the NCAA championship, put great crowds. And I think from there, it just built us. And that fan base started to grow.
Wow. That is an amazing thing, that when I started here, I was living out of state during part of this time, but when I started hearing about these enormous crowds you were drawing, and more than basketball, you know, all the, and we had a good basketball program then, but 15,000 in the Coliseum, and I was just knocked out by it. I was like, something's really going on there. And it was like, you know, people, and to credit to Alabama fans who responded, you know, to your winning, you know, and said, we're going to support this program. But also just the entertainment of a gymnastics event here that you built. I mean, that's not by accident. I mean, that coming back and attending gymnastics events here, it's just an amazing thing that you built into this program and then turned it into a national power. But, you know.
Well, I love doing that. And, you know, we started off with fun family Fridays and even during the recession and difficult times, trying to give families an opportunity to have affordable entertainment, mm-hmm. where they could bring a family of four and it would be less expensive than going to the movies. You build that fan base and they're going to return. And it worked. One of my favorite stories is Lane Kiffin's first year here. It was on the day after a gymnastics meet, and I happened to see him in the Mal Moore building, and he said to me, I looked at him, I go, "You're Lane Kiffin." I said, "I'm Sarah Patterson, the women's gymnastics coach." And he goes, "Oh, yeah, what was that Friday night? He must have worked late." And he said he had no idea what was going on. As he was in the Mal Moore building and he saw all these people, he goes, "I did not know what was going on." And, you know, he was from a program that didn't have a gymnastics program, so he had nothing to compare it to. But I could tell that it was impressive to him.
Yeah, and I'm sure some of the statements he's made since then about this university and the programs, and he's expressed a real respect for the not just football that he's involved with, but the entire program, and how impressed. And that had to be one of the major things he was thinking about. Well, let me ask you a little bit about Coach Bryant, you know, and go back in time a little bit. And how was your relationship with him? He did hire you. And as you said, then he gave you five scholarships, which you earned. You know, I say he gave them to you. You earned them that year. But what did you what was it like with him, working with him and for him?
Well, you know, I used to go to Coach Bryant's press conferences and stand in the back from time to time and just listen. And you learn a lot from, you know, following his words. And I'll share a story that is one of my favorite. But I'm in Coach Bryant's office with Sam Bailey, who was the number two person and ran the athletic department, even though Coach Bryant was the athletic director. And I'm asking for a $5,000 floor exercise mat. And that's the same amount of money as my salary was. And so if you're ever in the Paul Bryant Museum and you're sitting on the sofa in there, you feel like the legs are cut off of it, because when you're sitting in Coach Bryant's office, he's looking down upon you and the sofa is, you know, very low. And I'm trying to explain as a 22-year-old, you know, why he needed to give me $5,000. And, you know, I could tell Coach Bailey didn't want to have any part of it. And all of a sudden, Coach Bryant looks up and he goes, "Oh, Sam, just give the little lady what she wants." And, and I always say, if I had a voice recording, you know, of his words to me that I could have played for the other eight athletic directors I worked for, that would have been a great story to have.
Right. Oh my. That's great. What a story. Wow. What a story. Well, and now Coach Saban, you know, so you've spanned that time between both of them in terms of the iconic football program here. But it's, you know, I'm sure you have a good perspective on both of them in terms of how their coaching similarities and differences, I guess.
You know? Well, you know, I think they're both exceptional men. And I have to say that the championship rings that I have for Alabama gymnastics, they would not have been possible without the support and the finances provided by our football program. I could be the best coach in the country, but if you don't have those financial resources available to you, you know, it's difficult to contend at this level in any sport. And I look what Coach Saban has done, and, you know, during his tenure, we've had, you know, multiple national championships in other sports. And I was so proud when the Sarah Patterson Champions Plaza was dedicated, and to be a part of that with Mick Potter and Patrick Murphy, and then, you know, the next year to see Jay Sewell step in. You know, this would not have been possible without the support of Nick Saban and Mal Moore in particular. But because of the success of our football program, and I've always said there's no bigger football fan than Sarah Patterson, because it has provided me the opportunity to compete at the highest level throughout my entire career.
One of the things that you all share with football is the level of expectations. And so there's a lot of challenges in building a program from scratch, bringing it back from possible elimination. What would you say some of the challenges were when you had to shift to maintaining that level of excellence year after year after year? And was that even harder maybe than building the program? You know, the big victory of going 7-7, right? That seemed impossible maybe at the time, but then the expectations now and 5 years ago were not 7-7, right?
No, I think it's much easier to build and get to the top than it is to stay at the top. You know, for us, of those, you know, 32 years that we were at the national championship, only 3 years did we not finish in the top six.
Amazing.
I do remember there was a period, though, there was 3 years in a row where we were finished second. And a reporter from the Birmingham News called me the Greg Norman of college gymnastics. That, you know, I couldn't win.
Oh,
I was second three years in a row.
That's brutal.
And the pressure on these coaches in this day and time to maintain. And I think about that, and I think, okay, it took us 10 years to get to the top. Well, now you hear all these stories of, look at the, you know, football coaches now, you know, and if they don't win a championship in those 10 years, you know, their schools are looking at replacing them, bringing in new people.
Yeah.
And I think the expectations are so high. And we won in 91 and 96. And then, you know, there was 2002. And then we went from 2002 to 2011, where we didn't have a championship. We had multiple top four finishes, you know, final four placings. But then to win back-to-back in 11 and 12, the first time in the history of our program to go back-to-back, I have a great respect for Coach Saban and all that he has done.
Well, and Halt, you've done so great here too. I mean, I just think it's one of the great stories in college sports. One of the most consistent winners. You know, you mentioned Pat Summitt, but the consistency she had in basketball at Tennessee. But you had the same thing here, just as powerful a program in college women's gymnastics, which was we're so lucky to have that program that you built here. I was going to ask you, what do you think about the team this year in gymnastics, and what are we going to be looking at over the course of the next season? What will we be looking at, and how you think it's going?
Well, first of all, I think Coach Dana Duckworth has done a great job, and you know, I think my husband and I learned you know, from watching some other programs as coaches step down, how to be a supporter and help but not interfere in that first year. And I think Dana was ready. She was prepared. We always helped her whenever she asked. But I think, you know, no coach, I believe, has ever come in and in their first year of coaching won an SEC championship. And, you know, Dana has been associated with our program for almost 20 years, 4 years as a student, Then she was a volunteer coach for 10 years. She was a full-time coach for 7 years. So, you know, she grew up and knew exactly how David and I had done things. So I think the program is in great hands, and I think they're going to continue the level of success.
Yep, it's great.
Yeah, I think of two cases replacing a legend. Dana had to do it with you. I think of Gene Bartow and John Wooden. And I think it's a fine line, and you really have to – I think you handled it, and she's handled it perfectly.
Right.
The transition's great. You're there, though, at the matches, aren't you?
Oh, yes. Oh, yeah. Yes, we were at all the home matches.
Watching
and
every tumbling move and every vault and everything. Yeah, yeah.
And, you know, for me, it was great. David and I enjoyed being a fan. And I was the first one up when the YMCA started before floor exercise to do the YMCA. You know, all the things that I didn't have time to look at and watch, to look at the little kids on the Jumbotron. And I was always focused on what I was doing. And last year, Dave and I really got to enjoy watching what we had built.
That's awesome.
Yeah, that's amazing. I think it's great that you're still here on campus. My college roommate, Tommy Ford, I think your office right down the hall from Tommy. But yet, you know, you're not over there running the, you know, there's probably a tendency to like, oh, I got to get back in this and do it. But you're supportive. And as you said, Coach Duckworth was trained well. And so you're letting them fly. It's a great program, but I think everybody would love to have you to have stayed on coaching for the next 10 years too. Sooner or later, you gotta give it up. But it's such a great program.
Thank you.
And for this university. So,
Coach Patterson, it's been great to have you here, and you're not through with us yet. So we're glad that you've agreed to stay around a few more minutes with us and serve as our guest picker today. So let's take another short break, and we'll be right back with Coach's guest picks. You're listening to Skybox on 90.7 The Capstone.
Hi, this is Eli Gold, the voice of the Crimson Tide, and I love 90.7 The Capstone.
Welcome back to Skybox on 90.7 The Capstone. We've got Coach Sarah Patterson on the show today with us. We're going to turn our thoughts now to the 10 big games of the day and ask her to make her picks. We'll see if she's better than George, Mark, and I, which is, as we all know, not really all that hard to do. I think we know she probably will be. So, Coach, let's start with the game down in what they call the loveliest village on the plains. Auburn is hosting those Bulldogs from the University of Georgia, a big rival for you all, right? So who will win that game?
Well, first of all, there's nothing better than beating Auburn. And, you know, that I enjoyed, you know, winning every year except for the very first year of my career. So, but I have to say, I got to get on the Gus bus this weekend.
Ooh.
And I am picking Auburn. I feel like the crowd at Jordan-Hare is going to be a difference maker. I feel that there is some just uncertainty with the Bulldogs, and I'm going with the Tigers.
That is a All good right. pick. I like that. A little bit of shakiness there in Athens, right?
Yeah.
Not being able to take it on the road. I think
it's going
right.
to be a lot more shaky. I think that's a great pick.
Yeah, I think that's
All
good.
Right.
All right.
So we'll see if the Gus bus got some new tires.
Exactly. It's neat. So. Another game here in the SEC, a little team out of Alachua County. The University of Florida at South Carolina. What do you got? What do you have there, Coach?
Adam loves to do that an FSU guy.
Well, I got to go with the Gators. I mean, I'm not a Gator fan, obviously.
Nobody
but,
is.
You know, I just feel like Jim McElwain is a great head coach.
Agreed.
And look how he has taken this team and turned it around. I think, you know, his leadership abilities – I think he's got them in the right direction. I think as much respect as I have for Coach Spurrier, I think they're at a turning point right now. And, you know, at some time, it's time to be done.
Yeah, gosh, even saying that South Carolina's a shaky program right now is being kind. I think they're even in more trouble than Georgia right now. So
right.
Definitely. Over in the ACC, just here in a little bit after this show ends, North Carolina State at Florida State in Tallahassee.
Well, you know, I got to go with FSU.
All right.
I got
to
say,
Wolfpack.
I think it's going to be a very close game, but I do think FSU is going to come out on top.
Yeah. Okay. Phew. All right. We're going to skip this one for now. Memphis at Houston, one of Georgia's beloved Memphis Tigers going into Houston. This is a big game.
I think so, but I do think that Houston is gonna win because I do feel like their defense is a difference maker mm-hmm. for them. So I'm going with Houston.
Another instance of a former assistant head coach going somewhere and turning around a program really fast, right?
Yeah, and highly sought after now. Absolutely. I don't know if Coach Fuente is going to be in Memphis next year, but stopping Paxton Lynch is the key to that game. Okay. I think she's right. I think Houston does that.
Right.
Yeah. Coach, Arkansas and LSU, that's an SEC tilt.
You know, I've thought about this one hard, and I think LSU is going to be a little defeated and deflated after – what we did to him, that was amazing. I got to give Coach Saban credit. I think Brett, he has his team on a roll at Arkansas, but it's a 6:15 game. Mm-hmm. I'm giving the crowd the advantage, mm-hmm. and I'm picking LSU.
Okay. Okay.
Death Valley at night is a tough place for anyone.
Right.
Oregon and Stanford will go out west for a game later tonight in Palo Alto. Does Oregon have any chance here against this Stanford defense?
I don't think so. I think the defense will stop the Ducks for sure, and I'm picking Stanford.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. We've badmouthed the Big 12. Jump in if you like. The water's fine. Oklahoma and Baylor.
Well, first of all, I think that Baylor probably has one of the best offensive teams in the country. So, I'm not a big OU fan, and Baylor doesn't have gymnastics, so I'm picking Baylor.
Oh, there we go. All right, good, good. That's going to be an interesting game. It's going to tell us a lot. Okay, up in the Big Ten, we've got Minnesota at Iowa, and Iowa's unbeaten. And, they got some respect by the playoff committee this week. They moved them up to number, what was it?
Five, I think. Iowa at five.
Yeah, they're five.
Yeah, so what do you think?
Well, I'm just going to tell you, this is going to be a gut-wrenching pick for me. Geralyn Stack-Eaton was a two-time national champion for us at the Crimson Tide Gymnastics program, led us to a national championship. Yeah. She is an assistant coach now at the Minnesota Gophers. So I am going to support my former athlete, and I am going to pick Minnesota.
I love it.
That's totally fearless.
Fearless. We
all Gophers. For you, Geralyn.
Fantastic.
Gophers upset the Hawkeyes.
All right.
I love it.
That's great.
All right. Even if I end up picking Iowa, I hope Minnesota wins this game because of that. That's fantastic. Out west, Washington State at UCLA. Who you got in that?
I'm going to pick UCLA. I think Washington State is doing a great job. They lost that first game to Portland State. But, they've come back and they're doing strong. But I just got to go with the Bruins in this one.
Okay. Now, before we get to Alabama and at Mississippi State, you brought a special game to the table today. What do we got?
Well, I did. Slippery Rock University is going against Westchester at Westchester. And I am a graduate of Slippery Rock University, and I was a jock from the Rock in the way back when. So, I'm going to say this is the 1,000th game in the program history.
Ooh.
And
I'm going to pick
Slippery Rock.
All right. Number nine in the country. Number nine in the country.
Number nine in the country, Division
right.
Two.
Okay.
When she sprung this on, I went to Google, and Google's told me everything I can know about this. So
yeah, I noticed.
Westchester home advantage is maybe not.
And Westchester, I think they lost their first couple of games, but they're on a winning
streak.
Is this a winning streak?
It is, and I think the last two games, Westchester has won over Slippery Rock. But, I was there in September, and We lost a big game, but I was inducted into the Slippery Rock Hall of Fame, and it was an honor to be back.
Yeah,
so
great.
I just have to go with my love of the Rock.
That's fantastic. Awesome. That's fantastic. Well, I hope they win, and you know, So let's get back to let's go to the big one that affects all of us. Bama over in Starkville, Mississippi State. What do you think?
Well, you know, I think we're going to be a little tired after this past weekend, as any team should be. And from a coaching standpoint, I know that Coach Saban has prepared for this. He's going to give these guys, you know, a little bit of rest and going to get them back going again. Those cowbells are going to be ringing, but nothing is going to stop the Tide. I'm always picking the Tide.
Fantastic.
Score prediction, Coach, what do you think? I agree. We may be on a slow start, you think?
I think it's going to be 20-17.
Oh, wow. That's okay.
Close. Wow.
It's going to be nervous.
Yeah, that could be nerve-wracking over there. No doubt.
She's probably bigger. Right? Coach, talk to us a little bit about the relationship that you've built with the breast cancer awareness and the whole Pink campaign. It seems like it's almost synonymous with what Alabama Gymnastics was able to do. And now, of course, it's nationwide. We see schools all over. But talk specifically about your role in that and getting that started and perhaps the genesis of all that.
Well, I think the biggest thing is 11 to 12 years ago, I was in a position where I was not passing my annual mammogram, and there was absolutely nothing wrong with me. But I had the best of care, and I was taken from surgeon to doctor back and forth, and while I was perfectly healthy, I had the best of care, and I saw women who did not have all of the support that I did. So I wanted to know how I could use my position in the community, our fan base of over 12,000, to try and help make a difference, and we started the Power of Pink. You know what? No one has ever said no to me over all the years, because everyone has someone, whether it's a mother, a sister, a loved one, a friend, someone that has been touched by breast cancer. So I think that the Power of Pink is something that is an amazing thing. And, you know, to see how it is spread is just probably one of the single most important things to me in my career. And I think it's not just about the wins in your coaching career. I think it's about what you do for other people. And to see that we've raised, you know, millions of dollars for disadvantaged women in the West Alabama community. Women, anytime they don't have insurance, need money, help, support for a mammogram, you can go to the DCH Foundation and get it taken care of. So it's a program that has a lot of meaning to my heart.
Wow,
it's been
powerful.
A tremendous legacy here that you've left.
Thank you.
Just tremendous that has changed so many lives, and it's also so much fun to see Pink around the campus at that time, and I think the rec center
lights up the rec center.
Everywhere.
It's the places you never expect it. Now all of a sudden, you see Pink, and it's so identifiable with the cause.
Yeah,
it's amazing,
incredible process.
Dwayne Lamb has done an amazing job on our campus, and started off with the Pink Coliseum, and now Ferguson, the rec
it's
center.
Everywhere.
It's expanded everywhere, and what that tells you is that everybody is affected by it. And a couple of years ago, we had a university student that we flew back in January for the Power of Pink meet. She left school in December, but graduated via commute college with the Judy Bonner's blessing. And she was a 22-year-old breast cancer survivor. Mm-hmm. And we brought her back in, and she was one of our honorees that we recognized that evening at the meet. And what that told me was that if one student in the stands, you know, all our university students that come, if one of them, you know, learned more about how you can help detect and stay away from some of these problems, then, you know, all our efforts have done a great job.
That's great.
Great message.
That's amazing.
It sure is.
Coach Patterson, thank you so much for being with us today. It was such an honor for us to have you here on the show. Thank you for spending your time with us. It's been such a pleasure. Let's now take a quick break, and we'll be right back with a look at how we all did in last week's picks. Hopefully, we won't talk about my picks all that much, and we'll make our own fearless picks for today's games. And you're listening to Skybox on 90.7, The Capstone.
Okay, welcome back to Skybox on 90.7 The Capstone. Last Saturday might have been the craziest day yet in a season filled with crazy days in college football. The Arkansas-Ole Miss game was just out of this world. But let's look overall at how we did last week. George, you've got the big board there.
The big board is speaking. Adam, do you mind if I go to the big board?
I think it's okay. It's fine.
Well, I had a good week. I went 14-3.
You did.
Mark 13-4. Adam 12-5. Nothing to be ashamed of. We're all among friends here. The overall standings. Adam is standing at 126-52.
I don't know that I'm standing. I'm more falling.
Leaning.
Right?
Mark is at 130-48. Four games up on Adam, and then I'm sporting a three-game lead at 133-45 over Mark. So, a little space emerging, but. I am 1 week away from crashing.
What were the real differences last week? The big game shift,
big
right?
Game
that we got
differences,
wrong.
Arkansas Auburn.
Arkansas Auburn was a tough one.
Arkansas Ole Miss. I think I went with Arkansas.
I stupidly picked Florida State. Right?
Yep. The Arizona State. Mark, you went Arizona State at Washington State. Washington State pulled that one out.
Texas Tech.
West Virginia. I was the only one that went West Virginia and got that over Texas Tech.
Yeah, that was a big one.
And the Duke North Carolina game, Adam. I thought you had a sound pick there.
Duke. North Carolina has been looking really good.
Boy, and there was no defense in that game.
Oh, it was ugly.
Not at all.
So, you know, I think for the most part, all eyes were on Tuscaloosa last week, and you know, I think whether we're homers or not, we got it right. I don't think any of us, at least I wouldn't have picked the margin of difference there.
I
did pick on Twitter. I picked 31-17. I will say that.
Pretty
Bama,
close.
LSU.
That's
pretty
close.
But I think we all were confident that Bama was going to win the game. I think. But if you remember, a lot of people were picking about 20-17 or in that category. Yep. John Parker Wilson, I think, did pick 20-17.
Yep. So. I thought it was going to be close.
And it wasn't even as close as the score.
No,
it
really wasn't.
It wasn't.
No.
Some people said they felt a little nervous in the first half, but I got to tell you, from the first defensive series, certainly until the second defensive series, it was going to go our way. That was
a
different defense that showed up.
I don't think any of us expected that the way it played out. At least I thought Bama might pull away late just because of the pounding that we talked about at the time that felt like Bama would deliver to them. But that's not the way.
The most dominant defensive performance I've seen.
Bama should have been up by more points at halftime. They were only up by that field goal.
Yep.
They should have been up by
which more. I thought was a huge point in the game.
Both
for Adam and for the team to go in with the lead after we'd gone out 10. Then they took 10 on us, and then bang, Adam hits that right before the halftime. But guys, how do we stop what I think most of us would at least admit going into the game was far and away the best running back in the country. And may still be the best running back in the country, but how did we hold him
anything,
to 31 yards?
I think the goal would have been to hold him to 100.
Yeah.
Right? The goal, holding him to 100 would have been a success.
So.
I thought. I thought he'd get 100 and a couple of touchdowns.
Yeah.
We would still beat him. That they wouldn't outscore us.
Yeah.
And that
would have been my prediction,
We would control it, but he'd still get his yards.
I think that front seven is every bit of what its billing is. And quite frankly, they're going to need to be that again and then some in Starkville today. They're a good lot, and I think the secondary, as I've been saying week after week, is getting better and better. Jake is getting more cast as the quarterback of them, and I guess there's nothing that hasn't already been said about Derrick Henry. I mean,
absolutely
amazing. And
what a great showcase for him, right?
It really was, and it just flipped that entire Heisman conversation to Henry. Now, as you said, though, Georgia, that's Fournette's not out of it by any means.
No, I don't buy popular conviction that kind of game will lose him the Heisman. I think what he does perhaps against a good Arkansas defense today will tell me a lot.
You certainly can't have two games like that.
No.
You can't have another game
no.
where you get 69, 74
right.
yards or
right.
something like that.
Right.
The problem for him will be that if Bama wins out, LSU will not have the big high-profile SEC
right.
championship game that Bama will have. So Henry will. He'll be playing Florida
yeah.
in that game. But if Bama stumbles, Fournette could have another big game. They'd go to the SEC title game if they went out.
That's right.
The
that's
ballot
right.
deadline when you turn them in matters a lot, right? And so
yeah.
whether you stick it out until the end or not.
I know.
It really does. What you did for me
go.
Lately means
yep.
a lot
yep.
with those
Absolutely.
Ballots. It really
yeah.
does.
Right.
Well, we've got a big slate today, guys. And so why don't we kind of race through a few games if we don't mind?
Yep.
Just let's make the pick, and then we can focus on a few more, a little bit more. In detail, 11 o'clock start over in Morgantown, Texas, West Virginia. Adam?
West Virginia.
West Virginia for me, too.
And it's a three-way for me, West okay. Virginia. Oklahoma State and Iowa State.
I think Oklahoma State pounds them.
I do, too.
Yeah.
I'm with you, Adam. I think Oklahoma State goes in there.
I agree. Although I'm not sure they're as good as they think they are. Michigan and Indiana.
I think Mark's beloved khakis pull it off again and beat a pretty tough Indiana team.
I agree. I think it's going to be a close game, but I think Michigan goes in there and
shockingly,
wins it.
Mark
and,
picks Michigan.
yeah,
mark it
and,
on your radio.
I agree. Michigan
I
wins this game. I'm not sure
there.
It's going to be close. I think
yeah.
Indiana's thinking basketball.
Yeah.
Clemson and Syracuse.
I think Clemson wins and continues their streak.
I agree. I think Clemson actually wins going away. But I will say this. If they are going to Clemson, this would be the kind of venue they would in a game they clearly should win.
It's a lot of ugly orange.
But I'm going with Clemson.
Same here. And I don't think there'll be any trouble up in New York. Intriguing, perhaps, because of bowl implications, Kentucky at Vanderbilt.
I think Kentucky wins on the road. I could be surprised and have Vandy show up again, but I think Kentucky wins it.
I'm going with Vandy on this.
I knew you would.
I am. I'm going anchored down on this.
You always go
yeah.
with the intellectual schools.
yeah, well, that's interesting.
You're
but
such
yeah.
a snob, Mark.
It's because I wish I had gone to them. No, right. not really. I'm glad I went here, and Bama's the intellectual school. But I think maybe that is a little pattern I got going there. I don't know.
You like Vandy. You like Derek Mason.
I
so.
Do like Vandy, yeah. and Vandy, I like them because people say, oh, they shouldn't be in the SEC. I'm saying, of course they should be in the SEC. Academically, we got to have that team.
Yeah. Well, I'm going with Kentucky. I think they want to go to a bowl. They've got Charlotte next week, and then they finish with, help me, is it Tennessee for their last game?
Maybe.
I think. I'm not sure. But I know they're on the precipice of making bowl eligible, so I'm going to go with Kentucky. Oregon and Stanford, quickly.
I don't think Oregon's got enough to beat Stanford.
I'm going upset.
You're going with the Ducks?
I am. I know Stanford's the better football team, certainly the most physical, more physical, and they got a lot on the line here. But Oregon's coming on here lately.
They played a good game last week.
Yeah, they did, and I just think they may outrun Stanford. I'm going for a big upset on this one.
Could be.
Trying to be fearless on this.
Interesting with offense-defense on that one for sure. Utah and Arizona late out in the desert.
I think Utah wins. I think they've got a chip, and I've picked Zona a couple times, and I've been embarrassed both times.
I'm Utah also.
As with me. So, Mark, you're out on a limb on our quick picks here with Vandy and Oregon. So
yep.
we'll watch for that. Could make up some ground there or become more like Adam and be irrelevant. a little more detail here. I'm sorry.
You're listening to Cheap Shots on 90.7 The Capstone.
We're getting a little more biting on this show.
Exactly.
Getting a little bold. Too bold, perhaps.
Ratings.
11 o'clock, Pittsburgh at Duke. I think this is the closest game of the day.
It's a tough one, isn't it?
I think it is. I'll start it out. I'm taking Pitt, and I like Narducci, who came from Michigan State with his defensive style. I think they ran into a really good Notre Dame team, but I think on the road they're going to get it done. I'm taking Pitt.
I'm going Duke on this one. I think they get off the mat from last week. I'm actually because it's at Duke, and I think they'll. I think they beat Pitt in this one. I think Cutcliffe's got something up his sleeve.
This was a coin flip for me. I think it's tough. I've picked both of these teams in other games have been woefully wrong. And so I'm going to go Pitt, too. I think Pitt pulls it together on the road and are too tough for Duke.
Oh, God. Mark, I think you're going to win that one.
I may really bomb on this week. Okay.
Florida and South Carolina.
This is another one. I think the fellas from the horse country here go into Columbia and win big. I don't think South Carolina's got anything going for themselves.
Mark?
I came close to picking South Carolina. I want to pick South Carolina in this, but I think Florida's going to – I think McElwain, they've got a lot to play for now, and they go in there motivated, and yet they win this game.
Yeah, I think they had their prerequisite scare with Vanderbilt, and I think they are going to show a lot of talent. I was in South Carolina earlier this week, and I'm going to tell you, this is in Columbia, and no one cares.
Yeah.
It is really it is really desolate.
They're starting to
there.
Think about baseball at
USC, or something.
Yeah.
Or who's going to be the next coach.
Yeah.
But I think this is a lost season, and I just don't think the Gamecocks will give Florida any game. I think this could actually be ugly, which will be unfortunate for the faithful there. Yeah. We mentioned earlier at the beginning, Memphis at Houston, an intriguing American Athletic Conference game. Mark, what do you think? I mean, I think this is a good football game.
It's a really good game, and it's a game I'd like to watch. I'm going with Houston on this. I think they remain unbeaten, and I think they'll beat Memphis.
I think so, too. I think they've got a lot going on at both programs right now. I think it's an exciting time for us to even care about this game, right?
Right.
I mean, we're going to watch this game.
The conference is loving that we're talking about
this
game.
We're going to absolutely watch this game. The conference.
Not that they really care about the three of us talking about this game. Our colleagues with
the
American Athletic Conference.
They should.
Yeah, if they knew what was going on, they should care that we're at this game.
Absolutely.
Adam won't be rejoining us for a while because he's laughing so hard.
The conference is absolutely going to love the fact.
Well, okay, I'm a Memphis guy. I gotta give a little love for the Tigers. But I think Houston wins this
You're
game.
You're going Houston.
I think Houston is a good football team that can score and has never had a problem scoring. I think this is a high-scoring game, no doubt, but I think Houston wins. I think we have a really, really interesting match on
many
interesting, levels.
Right? There's a lot of context in this game.
There is. Let's talk for a minute. I know we want to get to the big games of the night, but BYU at Missouri in Columbia, 6:30 SEC Network's covering it.
We've got a 4-5 Missouri team. Is that still where they're at? Right.
That's it.
It's had
right?
a tough season.
Are they?
Four and five.
Oh wow! I thought they were playing better
for a while. I don't
whipped up on them last week.
I don't know. They won one conference game, if one. So they've had a really tough.
This
season.
This is in Kansas City, by the way. This is in Arrowhead Stadium.
There you go.
As a note.
BYU is a pretty good team, although they've faltered a bit as of late. We talked a lot about them the first few weeks. I think Missouri pulls it together. I think they've got momentum on their side. They've got something on their side. It's a tough time right there at the University of Missouri right now, and it will be for a while.
Yeah.
And I think they rally behind something.
I agree with you. I think that's the key. They rally behind this. I think they come together as a team. They won this battle, I guess. I don't know what's going on in their locker room, but I think they got something to prove, and I think they come out dedicated. And also, I've always said they have a decent defense, and their offense is really struggling. But I think they find a way to win this.
I think the players do it for their coach, and they do it for their students, and they do it for themselves as students and as people, more so as players.
Yeah.
I'm going to pick BYU, but you gave me all the great reasons not to. I think emotion can take you through a part of this game, but perhaps BYU, because maybe emotion can work both ways, and it can tire you maybe prematurely. Yeah. I'm not suggesting that either one of these teams is great, but I'm going to take BYU perhaps by a field goal and a close football game.
I do agree that BYU is the better football
team. Okay, well, I'm not even sure.
The
right
highs
now,
and lows, I think, of the game. I can see what you're saying.
Right.
What about this Big Ten game here. We've got the Golden Gophers at the number 5 ranked Iowa Hawkeyes. Can Iowa Hawkeyes handle being the number 5 ranked team in the country? Minnesota is a pesky team.
Yeah.
They are.
Well, you know, Coach Patterson picking Minnesota
fearless.
All the right reasons.
She did.
It gave me pause on this.
Are you going with the Gophers?
Nope. This is one that I'm going to go with Iowa.
Not enough pause.
Not enough pause. Right.
Pause for that long. But I'm going with Iowa, and I hope they lose. I hope Minnesota wins it because of the.
I think I go with Iowa too. I love the Gophers. I just can't pick them in this one, and I've lost picking against Iowa 3 times this season. I think every time.
And they're a good football
team. I was not the number 5 team in the country, but they beat Minnesota and probably beat them by 10.
And you don't have to be the number 5 team.
No,
in the
not
to
beat
Minnesota.
Minnesota. Right.
You have to be a top 20 team.
It's coming for Iowa.
Out west here, Washington State at UCLA later this evening, 9:45 on ESPN.
Right.
I've got USC. I've got USC winning a game.
I think USC's going to win that game too.
I've got UCLA winning pretty handily. I think Washington State will score some points but won't be able to pull it out.
I agree. I've got UCLA. I think Washington State will throw it 100 times, and I think they'll lose.
I'm going to go with the Pirate.
Oh, wow.
I think this is a magical year for my mate, Mike Leach.
There you go.
They're 7-2, guys, and UCLA does not always have a huge home field advantage there in
empty stadiums, right?
Yeah.
They've been playing for some empty stadiums.
They do.
It's not formidable there, so I'm quickly going to go with Washington State.
All right. Well, let's get to the meat of the schedule, right?
Yeah, for sure.
Let's start out here. In a few minutes here in beautiful Alabama, it's a sunny, crisp day here. Georgia at Auburn. Who cares, right? I mean, who wins?
I'm going to go with Sarah. I'm on the Gus bus. I'm going to take Auburn. I'm a little bit concerned. Auburn is starting to get better. I think Jeremy Johnson's pretty good, and I think he's going to get better. I think they'll start him. I'm going to go with Auburn.
I'm going with Auburn, too. Yeah. I think they are getting better. That worries me a little bit, too. Yeah. I think Jeremy Johnson, they've been they're trying everything they can do to get him ready for Bama.
I agree.
Yeah, absolutely.
I agree.
Because they know – I think they know
they
Sean
will not
White
win
can't
with
get the
White.
Job done. But but still, hopefully Johnson's still not going to be enough to even get close to Bama.
I'm not on the bus. I will take a cab or make my own travel arrangements. But I believe that Auburn will win. I think you're right. The only way they lose this game is if they overlook Georgia getting so ready for Alabama. But I think Auburn wins. Sadly, all three of us pick them.
Yep.
Somebody else take this next game. I can't even talk about Florida State.
Go ahead, Mark. Lead in.
Well, I think, Florida State, NC State, this game is at FSU. The big game with Clemson. The big question is what lost that game. The big question is whether FSU, that'll lose them two in a row because they're down over that. But what do you got, George?
Florida State. It may not be pretty. I know this game is tended to be high scoring, but I think Florida State's defensive performance has convinced me they're a pretty darn good football team. Adam and I, Adam said, well, we fumbled away. We lost some chances to beat Clemson. I agree. I don't think that makes them a bad team. I think they end up winning by two touchdowns.
I think it's an ugly, close game, but Florida State wins.
Okay. I agree. I think Florida State wins this one and, may have something to they do have a little something to prove this weekend. Okay, a big one this evening, Arkansas at LSU. George, what do you got now?
I'm going to go with LSU. I think, Les has been talking too much about next year, and I think that may have been just the heat of the moment of losing a tough game to Alabama. But this team's got plenty to play for. They're the better football team. Like Coach said, Death Valley's on a night game. I've got LSU all the way.
I think LSU wins, too. I agree. I don't think Arkansas can put it together 2 weeks in a row.
Yeah.
And LSU can stumble through the first half and then pull it together at half and come out strong.
I'm with you guys, LSU. I think they come back out, and I think Fournette's going to get a lot of yards this week tonight. So, Oklahoma at Baylor. George, what do you got?
Baylor, probably in a shootout. I've watched Oklahoma's point trends. They're scoring 40, 50 points their last four games. I know Oklahoma's playing better. I think Baylor's got a very, very high-tech offense, and I think they'll win in a shootout.
Dude, I think Oklahoma wins it. I don't feel very confident in it, as you can tell by my voice, but I think Oklahoma pulls it out. I think Baylor is just getting too cute with themselves, and I think a backup quarterback can't do it for too long, to be honest with you.
I'm with Baker Mayfield, great name, and Oklahoma. Yeah, I think they beat Baylor. I think they're a better football team.
All right.
Yep.
Mark, we are strangely on the same side of a few of these.
Yeah, we are.
You guys are. You really are.
Yeah. We'll see how that plays out tonight. Okay, the big one for us, Bama at Mississippi State. And what do you guys got?
I think it's a tough game.
I think
Dak has gotten better as the year has gone on, and we did shut him down last year, and that was – a fantastic performance. I think our defense is better this year than last year, but I think he is better than he was last year. I think it's a close game, and there's a physical hangover. The Cowbells are terrible, but I think we pull it out real close. I think this is your 23-17 into the fourth quarter kind of game.
All right.
Well, I agree. I think it's going to be a close game. I will pick Alabama. I think there's a superior team. I don't quite understand why Dak Prescott's not getting more Heisman hype. Mm-hmm. I mean, he's got those kind of numbers. He's been consistent. I know they've dropped a couple of games, but if you watch them over their last four or five games, they're of the ilk of LSU and Alabama right now. Playing it I'm actually kind of glad this game is in the afternoon and not at night. I think the emotion level may be a little bit more neutral with that, the Cowbells aside. But I think we get out of there. But I'm like Adam. I think it's 3 or 4 points. It's going to be tough.
Okay. Well, you know, I'm going with Bama. Dak Prescott is the best quarterback in the SEC right now. I don't think anybody's even close to him. You know, in fact, he's a veteran starter, and he's also really good, and this is his best year yet, I believe. Also, Mississippi State has won their last four games by an average of 25 points. Mm. I mean, that's no matter what schedule you got, that's impressive. And I think Bama's, you know, that's a good home field advantage for Mississippi State. I think that'll be a tough game first half. I think Bama has the depth, and I think Bama pulls away. I think they'll win it by a few more than that. I think Bama wins it by 10 points, maybe. In the end, something like that.
I'll say this for Mississippi State. The best pepper jack smoked sausage I've ever had in my life was bought from that ag store on their campus. Right. Remarkable. They do great with the agriculture there. Great products.
No doubt.
Football team, not so much. They're going to lose. Yeah.
Hang on to your hat, folks. This is going to be a tough
game. Yeah, it's going to be a really uncomfortable afternoon.
Not for the
faint
of heart. I think this is going to be a tough game.
Yeah, yeah. Well, we'll see how it plays out. Well, that'll do it for another edition of Skybox. For those of you traveling to Bama's game in Starkville, be careful on those roads. And I want to give a shout-out to Andrew Lanningham, our producer and studio with us. Thanks, Andrew. Really appreciate it.
Fearless producer.
Absolutely. Fearless. Totally fearless. Thanks also to Terry Siggers, the GM of this radio station, 90.7 The Capstone. And thanks as well to our marketing intern, Melanie Veering. And, of course, thanks to Coach Sarah Patterson for joining us today. It was such a pleasure to have her here. As always, we'll see you on the radio back here next week. Thanks for joining us, and you're listening to Skybox on 90.7 The Capstone.